Bill, my boys, in good spirits. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope you're visiting with us. Great to have you with us here this beautiful Sunday morning. And it's great to be able to see the sun shining bright and to see the snow melting. So hopefully, I believe next, in a week from now, it's supposed to be 19 degrees. So you can be thinking about what you're going to be doing with yourself. But the weather is finally there. And so the golf clubs will be coming out for those who are interested. But it definitely will be, yes, it will be great to see the spring weather actually being here. Absolutely. Well, we're going to continue. As a church, we've been studying out being transformed, of course, into the likeness of Christ. That's our goal as disciples. We're going to continue with that here this morning. In 1502, in Florence, Italy, there was a large block of marble given to a church in Santa Maria. So the church immediately hired who they thought was a professional to sculpt this enormously huge piece of rock. The man was not a professional, and soon after beginning this great task, the man drilled a hole right at the bottom, destroying this magnificent piece of marble, so that the church decided just to drape a huge sheet over it, not knowing what else to do, since it had been damaged beyond recognition and repair. A certain man, Michelangelo, caught word of this large stone and how it had been destroyed, so out of curiosity he went to check it out and thought, hey, I think I could do something here. After a time, he began work and sculpted. And what was once thought to be a lost cause became one of the greatest statues of David ever built. You know, what an interesting story when we think about, what Michelangelo was able to do with this marble that seemed to be, a lost cause. That, of course, in the hands of Michelangelo, he was able to make it into something very beautiful. You know, you think about our lives here this morning. And many of us who are at different points in our own lives and in our own faith, we're all sinners. We're all broken people because of sin in our lives. But in the capable hands of God, we can be molded into something absolutely beautiful. That no matter where we're at in our lives and our faith, that in the hands of God, God can shape us and mold us into something beautiful. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about here this morning, the title of today's lesson, In the Hands of the Potter. But before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be able to gather here this morning. Father, thank you so much for each and every person that made their way here this morning so that we can come together to sing with one another, we can take communion together, and Father, we can study your word. Father, thank you that you've given us your word, that it inspires us, it challenges us, it encourages us, so that, Father, we can live the lives that you've called us to live. And Father, I do want to pray that as we study your word at this time, Father, I pray that you give me the words to speak, and I pray that you work in my hearts and each and every one of our hearts. That, Father, you continue to reveal your plans to us, continue to reveal, God, what you have designed for us to do in our lives. So that, Father, in whatever we do, Father, we can be men and women who honor you, who bring glory to you. But, Father, men and women who are transformed into the likeness of your Son. Father, please, we ask that you bless our time together. Father, please, again, work in our hearts. Help us to open our hearts to you. So that, Father, your word can work powerfully here today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to strive to be like him every single day of our lives. We pray this through his holy and precious name. Amen. From our Bible, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. As we talk about being in the hands of the potter. You can turn there, or you can turn your phone on, or you can turn your tablet on. Whatever applies to you. Now, some in here, they're the younger generation, like, open what? Open your Bible. But in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, it says, Jeremiah went to the potter's house. Actually, no. This is when the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping as seems best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. You know, what a great illustration. And Jeremiah went to the potter's house, and of course God had a message for Jeremiah. And while observing the pottery being made, God revealed himself and his message to Jeremiah. Jeremiah watched this potter as he molded the clay into the object he wanted. And God was showing Jeremiah how Judah is like a piece of clay in the hands of God, marred by sin, but how simply clay in the hands of God. You know, you think about clay itself, it's not very attractive by itself, but the potter can take the clay and again make it into something beautiful. You know, before you were a Christian, you know, what was your life like? You know, for me, it was without meaning and without direction. Just simply follow the crowd, do what everybody else was doing. Only until I became a Christian did I have meaning and found direction in my life. And God, from the moment I decided to, you know, make a decision to follow Jesus, God continued to work to transform my character into the likeness of Jesus. You know, this morning, what is your life like? You know, no matter where we're at, whether we're a Christian for a few years or several years, whether we're not a Christian, I do believe there are some things that God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. You know, point number one, God has a purpose. And of course, in this illustration, of course, God is a potter, but God has a purpose. You know, the potter has a purpose in mind for his work. What looks simply like mud can become something very beautiful. And God looked at the nation of Judah, as well as how he looks at each and every one of us. And he sees our sin, he sees our imperfections, our flaws, but he knows that he can accomplish something great and make us into something amazing by simply working in our lives. You know, in Romans chapter 9, if you turn there, you know, the Apostle Paul continues to build on this imagery about, you know, the potter and the clay. Now, in Romans chapter 9, verse 19, it says, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who resists his will? But who are you, man, to talk back to God? So what is formed, say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and for some common use? You know, here we see the purpose of the potter. You know, to make something for noble purposes. Something for common use. You know, in Romans chapter 8, if you turn out one chapter earlier, in Romans chapter 8, I looked at a different, the Message translation. And it helps us to see, you know, God's purpose for each and every one of us. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says that God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. That he decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as his son. In another passage in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, another translation, it says that we look at this We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything He created. You know, God's purpose for each and every one of us is to be like His Son. Is to shape us, to mold us, so that we look more and more like Jesus Christ. You know, God's purpose for us, His primary purpose is not happiness. Because sometimes we can believe that, you know, God's primary focus for my life is happiness. Sometimes we might want that to be God's primary focus, but that's not God's primary focus for our lives. It is not for us to have security. Although we want to have financial security, that's not God's, on the top of God's list. It's not God's purpose for us to have possessions, to have even perfect health, or even to have many different possessions that we can acquire in this lifetime. For each and every disciple, it is to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And that whatever situation we're put in, whatever life circumstance we're faced in, are opportunities that God uses to help us to become more and more like Christ. You know, what's important is that as if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, is to not forget that that's God's purpose for our life. Because at times we can have a different purpose for our life, or get sidetracked, as I do at time to time, where life becomes about something else rather than it is about, in whatever way, being transformed into the likeness of Christ. You know, sometimes it's easy to say, you know what, goal is about making sure that you protect your rights, you fulfill your rights, that you make sure that things are fair in life. You know, God helps to remind me, as He's been doing, to tell you, life is not about what is fair. Life is not about my rights. And someone said to me, Howard, Jesus had no rights. But it's all about becoming more and more like Jesus. We must put our lives in the potter's hand to yield our hearts to whatever is God's will so that we can become more and more like Christ. If you're not a disciple here this morning, I really believe it's God's purpose for you to become a disciple. And I believe if you yield your life to God, that God can do something amazing in your life if you simply give them the chance and yield your heart to be able to do so. You know, God has a purpose. But also God has a plan, point number two. To make pottery, you know, of course God uses various means to shape and to mold us into the likeness of Christ. You know, the potter fashions the clay into what he seems best to him. But in doing that, to make pottery, you must free the clay from all of the impurities, to burn it. And I do believe God works in different ways to mold us, to shape us, so that we can become more and more like Christ, so that we can be used in a powerful way for noble purposes. But God uses various means to shape us. God uses His Word. You know, when we study God's Word, and we see something in God's Word that we've never seen before. That's amazing. As, you know, in our family groups, we've been studying out different things. We've studied the book of James. Now, I've kind of went ahead and started to study 1 Peter. And I think God knows where we're at in our own faith. And God reveals some things to, as He's been revealing things to me as I studied His Word, things that over 25 years, you see it from a different perspective. Even years later, God reveals things through people. In order to, you know, God works to shape us, to mold us through different situations in our interactions with people. And I remember talking to one brother, and one brother said, "You know, Howard, you know what? In your character, bro, you need to be humble. You're prideful." So I thought, I'll ask somebody else, see what they think. I came back. You don't break. You need to be humble. You're prideful. You know, but those things happen where people, different things, different people will reveal different things in our lives so that we can be able to grow and become more like Jesus. You know, there's also circumstances. And at times we go through different circumstances. And, yes, thank you. You know, of course, I appreciate Francis sharing this morning about, or praying this morning about my dad, my mom. And of course, first, you know, some of you are aware, some of you are not aware, that, you know, my mom's been in a coma for the last 4 years. And I was talking with someone just recently, and they said, yeah, that must be a very difficult thing emotionally. And they go, well, we don't talk about it as much. And I share with people, I go, you know, I don't talk about it as much, as you may see right now, why I may not talk about it as much. But we're for 4 months, four years, in terms of up and down, so where this month, you know, the doctor's like, you know what, get ready, this could be your mom's final days. Then my mom, because she's a fighter, she's like, for 4 years, they gave her a few weeks. And 4 years later, she's like, you know what, I'm not going like this. And so, but still, for our family, you know, there's up and down roller coasters, doctors saying this one day, 1 week this, 1 week another time. But the thing I've come to realize is that, you know what? I'm not in control of any situation in my life. That God is in control. But one thing I've realized more and more is that God does not waste an ounce of the pain that we feel in our hearts. That whatever suffering comes our way, that God works in that to produce something. And so, you know, times when I'm anxious and my heart feels like it's racing, you know, God's teaching me to pray to Him so that I can have peace in my heart. And God's able to transform my heart into being at peace when I go to Him and give Him the situation into His hands. And I do feel like whatever situation, whether it be that situation, God is working to produce a heart of peace. God is working to produce a heart that is patient, that forgives, that entrusts all situations to Him. Because He is the one that's in control. You know, at times you might say, oh God, well, why me? And all I can say is, for noble purposes. To be more and more like Jesus. You know, one thing I realize more and more is that, you know, I'm not God, and He doesn't need my opinion. But He has all the power, I have none. He can do whatever He wants. He has the strength, design, skill, control, and I do not. I'm just simply clay. Clay in the hands of the potter. You know, this morning I want you to think about for yourself, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, I do believe that in one way or another, God tries to teach us different things in different situations in our life. If you look at your own life, you might be able to see some different things God is teaching you. Maybe God is trying to help you develop cultivate a great relationship with you. Maybe develop a great prayer life. Maybe sometimes that might come through unanswered prayers, because sometimes when our prayers get answered so too quickly, we forget about God, and when we get things very quickly. Sometimes we don't get what we want. It takes a long time to make it very clear that, hey, whatever it is we want has come from God. But sometimes God wants us to keep praying to Him, and maybe we don't get what we want right away because He knows we might stop praying to Him. Or maybe God is helping you to love people, growing in patience. And in growing in patience, of course, patience is long-suffering. Or growing in love. Or maybe your family. Maybe God's trying to teach you something about how to grow in your marriage. Where there's something, whether it be challenges, that, of course, as married couples, we do have our bumps from time to time. But those are opportunities that God used to be able to help us to grow in our marriage. Or maybe with your kids. Maybe right now your kids are, you know what, they're just, you're on your last nerve. Maybe God's teaching you something about your parenting. And having a deeper love, an unconditional love, for your kids. You know, I see that every day when, you know, Eric, when whether I'm trying to get him to go somewhere and he's dilly-dallying or he's trying to get him ready to go because we're late and he's singing the songs and I'm like, just give Daddy's tired. Daddy's late. And it's like, you know, he's singing a song or he's like, Daddy, I love you. Great, I love you too. We gotta go. We're late. I'm like, Hart, be patient. Be patient. And also, don't give a 4-year-old 10 minutes to get ready. Give him a little bit more time. Remember, life is busy. You got places to go, things to do. And then, you know, he's in the point of, he's asking us like, well, at least me, asking me 20 different questions a day. Asking, Daddy, what about this? What about this? You know what, Eric, you know, great. You know, that's a good question. Maybe you could ask Mom. You know, Mom's doing her PhD. Ask Mom. She might answer the questions for you. But it's one of those things, you know, obviously in different situations, God teaches us different things about who we are and what he is trying to accomplish in our life. But like the clay, we must choose to stay on the wheel in order to fulfill the potter's purpose. Which means that we must endure in the process to become what God intends to accomplish, and realizing that whatever we're facing, God is up to something. That God is always up to something. Some of we think God is not working in my situation, or why would things be like this? You know what? God is always up to something. He's just looking to see what he's up to. And point number 3, God does not give up on marred clay. In Jeremiah 18, verse 4, it says, but the pot was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. You know, this clay was marred, chipped, maybe scratched, ruined, spoiled, flawed. Those things are often tossed away. You know, you think about something that you may have owned that it's ruined, then we just, you know, get rid of it. It's spoiled, get rid of it. But when we think about the potter, and we think about God, it's a very different story. You know, the truth is, we're all sinners, marred by clay, imperfections. But the good news is that God can take what is marred and makes it into something useful and something absolutely beautiful. But the amazing thing is that God does not give up on or toss away what may seem damaged, what might seem flawed, that there's no situation, there's no person in God's eyes that is a lost cause. There's no situation for God that it's a hopeless situation. That God continues to work again and again to shape us as he seems best to him. You know, this morning as we talk about the hands of the potter, you know, the potter has a purpose for each and every one of us here today. God has a purpose, and that is for us to become more and more like Jesus Christ so that he can use us for noble purposes. So he can use us, whether individually, collectively, to shine and make an influence wherever we go. And God uses various means in his plan to shape us. And we're all marred clay. But God does not give up on any of us. Nor will he give up on any of us. In the hands of the potter, the possibilities are endless. Renewal is always possible in the hands of God. But he can take our lives, make it into something incredible. The only thing that stands in the way of God's renewing hand is what kind of heart we're going to give to him. You know, let us this morning, this week, next week, let us put our lives and our hearts into the potter's hand and allow God to transform us into the likeness of Christ, into something beautiful, so that he can use us for noble purposes. Amen. Have a great week.